Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Shannon, I think we're almost in position to really renovate. Please start like teeing it up. And she called two people, never called her back. One lady called her back, was like, all right, great. Send us the plan. Send us everything you have. She sent the plans over. She said, this is her exact words when she called my wife, and I saw Shannon's face fall. She said, hi, thank you for submitting your plans, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. He goes, we're going to politely pass.
Oh, God, I hate that. I hate that word.
Well, when you mentioned Buddy Hackett, I have to ask this, because I remember, and thank you for mentioning Buddy Hackett. I love that.
You just made his week.
Made my week.
If you mention him one more in time, he'll appear.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to conjure him up.
he's like Beetlejuice.
There are certain words that always make Linus tilt his head. One is leash, walk, treat. These all work for him.
Lick. The team behind the
peanut
study
butter
thinks those balls.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show. With Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I was trying to actually move my camera in time to the music.
It's like watching Shindig.
Stupid. I'm stupid.
I'm so mad at my football team.
Well, your post made me
gave
laugh
you
last night.
And then they ripped it away.
God, just creative ways to lose. Losers.
you keep coming back, though. You dismiss
them
like a game, too.
Must be nice to have the sun around.
Yeah.
No, my moisturizer that I use every day got caught up in my white beard because I couldn't see it. Yeah, I was up super late, and that takes me a while to wind down, and I'm not used to those late night hours.
Yeah.
Staying up and watching the New York Giants, and it's just there's got to be a reason I keep coming back for more, because I think I like it. I like the quest. I like the disaster.
You
I'm satisfied. I keep coming back
like
week after week.
It's like your old Red Sox. The Red Sox,
it's exactly,
you know,
like the old Red Sox.
Because the Red Sox have had some winning years, and so you know what? I hate to say it, Mike, you still follow, you still bandwagon, but really the bloom is off the rose for the Sox for you, because they've had a championship. Now that the Giants are in a magnificent area of suck, you're in.
Later on in the broadcast, I will be talking about one of the great broadcasters. I didn't get a chance to do that yesterday, did I? Did
no,
I talk about
no,
Jerry
no,
Remy
no,
yesterday?
No.
And we'll be talking about that. And then we've got a wonderful Who the F Is It Today.
Oh,
so,
cool.
That's coming up on the program.
Oh, speaking of which, Mike, would it be possible for you to send me the theme song to that bit? Because I got a hot call from my mother. She said, I listened to your show today, and I love, what is that song you play for Mike's game? I said, Mike plays that song, and there's a pause. She says, how do I get it in my iPod? She wants that song. And she's so marvelously old school. She has a little iPod Nano that she takes to work with her every day. That's the one.
Just trying to put this together with your mother.
Where's she going
to
go with this tune?
She loves it.
What's she going to do? What's she going to do with this?
Dance. No. She, like me, has an affinity for perhaps less than usual music. And you have to admit, that's pretty unique.
Yeah, but that's like...
Let me give this to her. Sharon, hope you're recording. Sharon is Rob's mommy. Sharon is a really sweet lady. There it is, Sharon.
Well, she loves it.
I didn't know you like it that
much.
She
says, you know what it's like? She says it's like a modern take on Benny Goodman. I said, I can hear that a little bit, but she
loves it. That might be me. I joined on Facebook a group. I never join groups.
Oh, no.
I joined a Buddy Rich group on Facebook.
Oh, that's sweet. Making friends.
Is it called
on the internet?
Is it called TikTok?
Bitcoin.
Is it called Clams? Is the name of the site Clams?
No, but they had amazing videos that I hadn't seen before. It's a big group.
Those
and they
groups
had rules.
Are,
I don't
yeah,
pay attention to
rules.
If you just use security,
just like our
I hate that. Yeah. No, like the Pinup Appreciation Society. Yep. You know, it has. I hate instructions at the beginning.
Yeah,
I
no be negative. Group, I no negative group. Content. No political content. Yeah, so who do you think Buddy Rich would have voted for?
Speaking of voting, a big day in the state of Virginia today where I've heard record turnout, record early voting. Turnout,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. So, Rob, Oscar, do you sometimes realize how non-savvy Rob is politically when he comes in? He said, I don't know. I didn't see anybody at the line. There weren't that many people at the polls. And there were, Rob, if they're not people at the same day polls,
voting.
That means that it's okay. Not that I think your guy's going to win, but I think it's going to be okay because same day turnout is the thing.
I know, but the thing that really bothered me was the amount of effort that was put in by the both sides outside of the elementary school.
Yeah, but
but you said the side that represents the guy you don't like was out in force, and there was not enough force for the guy you like.
No, and there was the guy I like had one guy sort of standing in the shadows. And not enthusiastic. And then the other side had a point.
But it's not about size. It's about the motion in the ocean, right?
And I'm not savvy.
I've never. Well, no, you're not, though, because that means that might be okay.
Okay.
But you'll have to look at the pundits and the analysts and all
that. What I would love is record early voting and record day of voting at the same time. I would have loved to have seen a line today.
You don't. See, you don't get it.
No. Record early voting.
That record early voting
is for
benefits one side.
Your team.
I understand. Yes.
Record same day voting benefits the other
Somebody's
team. Do you understand
win.
Me?
What I want to see everybody.
I love it when Rob says, "I understand
yes,
that,"
but I want
but you don't
want
by
everything.
Saying that.
If you want everything, nobody wins.
No, not
somebody's
a well.
Gotta win.
Who's the political junkie here?
Yeah.
Okay,
you.
I eat this stuff up, and
right.
usually. In most elections, you've got that. If that is, now, I could, it's politics,
could
you never
wrong.
Know.
But
right. you understand, you don't want record yeah. same day.
No.
Okay, I stand corrected.
It just because that's the, and by the way, that's become like a badge of division, where I'm not going to do it early, I'm going to show up at the polls. Everything
is a badge of division, of course.
Right. So we'll see what happens. But I've never seen you more engaged. I've never seen you more engaged. What did he say, what?
I said the show's a badge of division.
And I said, no, it's not.
It's constant. anyway,
I've always been sort of passive, sort of on air. But, you know, I have never missed an election since I've been 18.
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Who was the first president you voted for?
Yeah, we don't need to go there, but...
Reagan,
did you vote for Nixon?
I voted for Perot.
That's right.
You voted for Ross Perot? That's all right.
Yeah. Can I finish?
I mean, that's cool.
Can I finish?
Can I finish now? We can't digress anymore. Yesterday, Rob and Oscar, yesterday afternoon, caught up with an old friend of the show.
Yeah.
A man who cut his teeth in stand-up comedy when he used to come on the Don and Mike show, and we get him Warm Tab. Did you mention Warm Tab during the interview?
I didn't bring up the old show because neither of us were on the old show, so there was really no overlap.
Also,
all right. Well, that's how I knew Bobcat.
The body of work that he's done, his production work, as he produced Jimmy Kimmel Live for a number of years.
Directed,
and has produced a number of films. Like, Bobcat, he might have gone, like, off screen, but he went behind the camera.
He's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
He's a filmmaker,
nuts.
And he's done well with himself. And yesterday, you guys caught up with him.
Yes.
Bobcat Goldthwait, who... really has an amazing body of work and is a very funny guy. And Rob and Oscar got a chance to chat with him. I was getting penile enlargement surgery, so I was
How'd
not able to make the interview. They've got to try again.
Oh.
Sometimes they miss.
They reject
I don't know. The doctor was mumbling about, 8 pounds of flour and a... but anyhow...
gross.
So, without further ado, let's get right to it. This is Rob and Oscar chat with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Well, I guess we're done trading compliments, and we can now say welcome to Bobcat Goldthwait to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a true pleasure. Very excited. I'll get the plug out the way right now. You're coming to the DC Comedy Loft. And that is November 11th, 12th, and 13th, 1523 22nd Street Northwest, right in our neighborhood.
Fantastic.
So I hear it's a great venue, and we look forward to having you in town. Is it cool to be back on the road again?
Well, you know, there's a connection I get with a live audience. I ran out of money.
No, there's no chance.
I'm kidding. You know, I made that joke, and then someone was like, Bobcat Goldthwait's broke. It's like, no, I actually do enjoy going back out on the road. I've never stopped. When I directed the Kimmel Show, I stopped for about 3 years, but I always find myself back there. And I mean, I do have a lot of hyphenates, but the reality of it is I see myself as a comedian first.
You know? Wow. You know, I was getting ready to talk to you. I popped around YouTube, as everyone in the world does, and I saw your debut on Letterman from 1980. And it was, I mean, I remember watching it then, and I think Dave introduced you as the strangest comedian he's ever seen.
Yeah, it was like, it was, I was only 20 years old.
Right.
So I think it was like 82. But it's like, Letterman doesn't go, hey, there's a young comedian coming on. It's just like, this is the strangest comedian. It's just like, yeah. So I was born old. You know, no one ever thought I was a young up and coming comic. So yeah, I got on Letterman when I was 20 years old.
When you look at that, what does it bring to mind? Because obviously your act is a little different now.
Yeah. When I see me, like I'm usually thinking what a lot of people are. I'm like, what am I saying? I should have been subtitled. I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah, I look at the stuff and I just kind of, in my head, it's always, you know, I've always just done what I wanted to do on stage. So that was something I did. I'm not ashamed of my persona from back then, but I definitely eventually jettisoned it because I don't know if it really rung true anymore. I used to be scared and I used to like making fun of stand-up comedy. That's really basically what the persona was. You know, it's like, here's the last guy who should be on stage telling jokes. And then lo and behold, I started getting headline jobs and then I became the very thing I was making fun of. I had a hammer out an act.
Bobcat, if you don't mind, look, for us here in the studio, the idea that we could go and see you live is still new to us 18 months after the pandemic.
Like, yeah.
The fact that we can go and see any comedy, let alone you coming to town.
Right.
Could you just give us and this is not, we're a success story, right? We came out on the other side and we had a nice,
can't you tell we're successful?
Infrastructure where we could do the show from anywhere in the world.
Right.
You can do comedy from anywhere in the world. It's not going to be the same than being in, it's just not the same as being there in person. Right. Right? So yeah, I asked you that to say that during the pandemic, was that a good time for you to just sit down and reflect and be like, I want to get back out there when I can get back out there?
No, I mean, it was just, you know, me at 9 o'clock suddenly telling funny stories to the cats and my girlfriend. No, it was like I ended up, you know, I spent the time editing the movie Joyride, the documentary that stars Dana Gould and myself, and it's available on iTunes and streaming, and 100% at Rotten Tomatoes. So so I put together that movie, you know, so I spent 8 months editing that. And then even though I'm obligated to work on some other screenplays, I'm doing a narrative film with Judd Apatow from the documentary I did, Call Me Lucky, about my friend Barry Crimmins, turning that into a film. And I did work on some of these scripts, but I actually sat down and wrote like a children's movie.
Wow. Really?
Because, yeah, I wrote like a G-rated movie it's kind of about hope. And I just felt that was the most contrarian thing I could do during the time we were in, you know, where, you know, I already did a movie, God Bless America, which kind of addresses a lot of things that is happening and happened, you know, and I'm not flattering myself. It's a flawed movie.
this is great context.
But you know, I've already done really bitter movies. That's a very bitter movie, I guess you would say. I like to say it's a violent movie about kindness. So just being the contrarian I am, I actually sat down and wrote a really sweet movie just because it was the only thing that could come out of me, you know?
Did it help channeling that?
It was really weird. I would get to the computer and I would write and I would be happy and I look forward to it. Even all the movies I wrote, they're always, the writing part is the part that I hate the most. It's really just, you're by yourself. It's just, you know, and I always see them as like skeletons. I don't even see them as actual screenplays. We're always working and changing and fixing the movies. But yeah, so I wrote a sweet kids movie and my friends read it and they go, there's no bestiality or no one dies of autoerotic asphyxiation. What is this? Did you write this movie? You know, but you know, they're all waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, but
you stayed busy. Yeah. You stayed busy.
I did, but I also moved to Illinois. I left Los Angeles after 35 years and now I live in the Midwest. Wow. And I live out in the woods. You know, I have to say, in the Midwest, I'm thin.
Hey, well, that's terrific.
I am the Daniel Craig of DuPage County, Illinois. Like, who's that skinny hot babe? He's so fit.
You mentioned Joyride, and I watched the trailer, and I laughed because you were just talking about how when you got into stand-up comedy, you were making fun of stand-up comedians on stage. And then there's one line in the trailer that I find intriguing is because you're traveling with Dana Gould, and he says, "I used to not like you."
It starts with Dana saying, "We didn't like each other when we met." And I'm like, "No, that's not true at all. I hated you when we met." And so the course of the movie, you not only see like our history as friends, but you see his kind of mend that after all these years, and I own up to my side of it. And I was very cruel to the guy. I actually even found footage of me in the 90s. Being vicious to him. And I put that in the movie. I'm the antagonist in this movie. So I'm watching the movie in the theater. We just had these screenings and oh man, after you see me being so ugly to him, I can't buy a laugh in that theater for about 10 minutes.
Oh wow.
That's really funny.
That's great.
Until you put that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until I make my mea culpa to him. People are like, they jump off of team Bob Scratch Goldfarb pretty fast.
So how much of the movie when you're on stage, when you're on touring with Gould, are you on stage at the same time? Do you both do solo sets and then?
No. We originally started that way. We would go out and we'd flip a coin and go out on stage and flip a coin and see who was going to be the headliner.
Wow.
But we noticed that the audience really liked the time where we're just on stage, you know, dicking around doing that. And so we ended up, after like three shows, we said we should just go out on stage together. Oh, so wow. Then we just started doing the whole show together. And then we went to film it. And then we were in a pretty serious car accident. And then once we got back together, like I watched the movie and I'm still a little Gary Busey. You know what I mean? But I mean, the movie seems to work for people. But yeah, Dana's trying to help me and feed me the bits, you know, like trying to remind me of my bits. And I'm like, I have no idea. It's like who's on first, but like with one of the guys has amnesia. What? You know, these baseball players have a lot of crazy names. Oh, tell me more.
So Oscar will give me a hard time
for
an ancient reference. But when I see you two on stage in these clips, it has sort of a Rat Pack feel. Like you just busting on each other a little bit, but good-naturedly. And it looks like a lot of fun. And it's got to be a weird dynamic for someone who came up as a solo to be sharing the stage.
Well, I've always wanted to do a double act, but it's not a double act in the traditional sense. And that you're right. That's what it is. And it is more Rat Pack where, you know, we bust each other a little bit, but we really enjoy watching each other work. And that's what it's about. And then there's bits that just organically come about where it's both of us weighing in. So, it's not like we're not putting each other down and one of us isn't the dumb guy, or maybe I am and he didn't tell me, but it's more like seeing two friends that really are having a great time up there. And we do. So we still go out and do it too. We still have been doing some dates. We'll go into a town and play like the rock club versus the comedy club when we're doing our show.
That's great.
Bobcat, I have to ask you, and look, you're in the thick of it. And for anybody that is a fan or does it like, wow, I'm 43.
Yeah.
And I grew up watching.
He's asking me.
Watching your films. And I'm a huge fan. And I followed your career and the transition, you know, to behind the camera. It was flawless. Do you ever feel or do you ever think about what's next? And I only ask this now because the world of these comedy specials going straight to Netflix or these online platforms, it's prevalent. It's just what it is today. Like they're players. But also discovering new acts on platforms like TikTok are very viable. Do you ever look at that and you're like, what is going on? Or because you've been in the thick of it.
I know exactly what you said. Yeah, I'm a VHS comedian in a TikTok world, you know. So I it would be sad for me to try to make content to compete with what's going on now. There's nothing more desperate than that. But I as far as like what I'm going to do next, you know, I know I'll always be doing stand up, but in regards to like the movies I write and make, I've always, every time I make one, I try to challenge myself, you know, and I don't, my movies are not blockbusters. They're small independent movies, but it's always like, well, can I make a suspenseful movie? You know, so I go off and do a scary Bigfoot movie, you know, so right. Like, can I make a children's movie? That, so I write a children's movie. So, you know, but In Joyride, I was given a commencement speech at my daughter's college, and I said, you know, it's important to keep quitting, you know, and keep quitting your whole life until you end up someplace you don't want to leave. And who knows? I mean, I may even quit this stuff again, but I'm really fulfilled and having a good time. But I also super enjoy chopping wood.
well, think about it. The quitting aspect, it's like a whole generation of workers after the pandemic heard you.
Yeah.
Because everybody's quitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are. But I think people are now doing the things they're, if they can afford to, they're doing the things they're passionate about.
Hear, hear.
And that's, I've kind of been on that path already for like the last 20 years. So, I assume I'm going to keep making independent movies that make hundreds of dollars. And I assume I'm still going to go out and do stand up. But, you know, the thing about stand up, I couldn't do those Zoom shows. The stand up has always been, I've never been a guy that had an act that I was reciting. So it's a living thing. It's playing off that room. You know, sure, I have material, but it's like, oh, that bit didn't go. It's kind of like at one point in your career, you become like a wedding band or a wedding DJ. Sure. And you go, well, they didn't like that one. It's, I guess I got to play big butts now, you know? So it's
cha-cha just, slide.
Exactly.
Yeah, it goes to the cha-cha slide. Because
that's your saver. That's your saver.
They did not like Proud Mary. So, yeah. So it's a living thing, you know, and without, you know, when I got back out on stage the first time, I was like, I didn't know what was going to happen. And then I got up there and I was like, oh, I forgot. I like this. I like doing this. You know, I like it. And especially like, you know, we're all, doesn't matter what your politics are or what side, everybody's fearful. Everybody's depressed. Everybody's frustrated. So, you know, you get out there and you can address some of that stuff and people blow off steam. You know, I used to think it was cliche when someone would say, you know, oh, it's, I like making people laugh. Or when someone said, wow, that I really needed to laugh. I saw that. But that's out the window. Now when someone says that, it actually resonates with me and I'm genuinely touched.
So when you're on stage, you're kind of a reactionary guy. You're playing off the audience and stuff like that. You have such a great history as a director. All the great things that you've guided, some of our favorite comics, friends of mm-hmm. the show, Patton Oswalt. And his special... I think you did Annihilation and Tragedy and Comedy Equals Time. Your direction on those is so solid. Are you sort of a reactionary director as well? Do you feed off the talent or are you more proactive when you do that?
It depends. I try to figure out. I try to give the audience the best seat in the house.
Cool.
It drives me insane when I'm watching a comedy special and suddenly they cut, you know, it's like to the back. It's like, hey, wonder what it looks like if I had a really seat today. Oh, I would be way up here.
That happens so, all the time.
It's so true though.
It's infuriating. Yeah. It's infuriating. And it's usually people either doing a pull up, cutting something out, or they're trying to show you how crafty and amazing they are. But I feel like my job is to give the audience the best seat. And the other thing is to reassure the comedian that they don't have to worry about any of the taping, any of the behind the scenes stuff, that all they have to do is go out and do their job. And by the time they get there, they all know the act. Mm-hmm. So I just say, look, you've done all the work. It's already done. Just go out and do it. And some people I may help with a tag or I may help shape the set. And then other people, they know exactly what they want. And then other people, like I did Eugene Merman's, and
yeah,
it was just a collaboration, and it was just silly and fun. You know, Eugene's one of my favorite people, and he's a good friend. So it changes from day to time. Like when Patton disclosed about his wife passing away, I knew that was in the set. I knew it was coming. And what I did behind the scenes was he's on a long lens, and it's a really slow push, but through that whole story for as long as it is, there's no cuts. The camera's just slowly pushing in on him because I didn't want to cut off his face. I didn't want to look flashy. And it was interesting because people were sobbing in the audience and I had shots of those, but I did want to edit where I put that in. And it just felt like I was trying to manipulate the home audience. It felt like it was a daytime talk show, like a Oprah or something. So, you know, you're basically, I'm trying to make people feel like they can, hopefully they can relax when they go out there. That's my biggest job, just to comfort them, you know, and that's the same thing when I direct a movie. I'm trying to create an environment where the actors are and every department is actually willing to pitch and try new ideas and come up with stuff. And I'm not threatened by it because I know what I want at the end of the day, but I'm also not afraid of people trying new things. You know, when I did World's Greatest Dad with Robin, it was really funny because he would, he's like, could I have another one, B? And I'd be like, yeah, yeah. And then he wouldn't really change it. But that take would always be the one where he was the most relaxed and his performance was strongest. So it's just trying to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah, you had a wonderful relationship with Robin Williams. We've all read about it. We know about it. And I think very impressive as the mime in Shakes the Clown. And he,
Jerry.
And he did not take credit for that, right? That was just sort of a...
He was just doing me a favor. And it's interesting because World's Greatest Dad, he read the script and he thought he was going to play a small part to help get the movie funding. And then when he read it, he said, hey, can I play Lance? And
oh, wow.
I was like, yeah, of course. But it was funny because people think I wrote it for him. It's like, if I was going to write a movie for Robin, I would not write a movie like that. I wouldn't write a movie about an English teacher. First of all, I think he already tackled that pretty well in Dead Poets, but yeah.
he's got a type.
But it was a collaboration. It was really funny. Like, I remember he says, I think I should jump in the pool naked. And I walked down the hall and then I turned around. And I go, yeah, you're right. You know,
That's so awesome.
It's so funny because Robin, like all of us, is so insecure, but I spent like 4 hours with him just nude, you know? And I'm like, I said to him, I go, if I was hung like that, I would not be insecure. I wouldn't even wear pants. I would just be walking around in a skirt all day or something. Like, check me out.
Well, you've had some fascinating relationships. I did not know until I was reading about you that you were close with Kurt Cobain and you opened for Nirvana.
I wasn't close. I was friendly with them. I met them before they broke. They had done the record Bleach, and Kurt liked my stand-up, which is always strange for people to find out. But Kurt, I guess he had my stand-up album, and he only had like three albums in this one apartment, and mine was one of them, and he'd play it all the time. So it's like finding out that Jimi Hendrix really loved Buddy Hackett. I understand that it's hard for people to process.
Wild. But I was just curious. That had to have been an odd crowd to do comedy for. You're opening for a Nirvana show.
I mean, it was the last place you should be doing comedy. Like, comics talk about, like, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, I got heckled, or, oh, you know, it's like, have you ever had an M80 thrown at you? Because I have multiple M80s.
While you're at work, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a comic goes out there and a comic is like, I want to engage them. I want them to connect. I want them to hear me, and I want them to appreciate my audience. Appreciate me, the audience appreciate me. And I'm at that point, I'm like going, well, this ought to be fun. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't the question of killing or doing well. It was more like, I just thought it was so insane to do it, you know, and every other, like about every third show, I actually would connect and people would enjoy me, which was weird.
Batting 300 will get you the Hall of Fame. That's pretty good.
One experience. Also a challenge, right? Another challenge.
Oh, a challenge, but it was so fun. And it wasn't until later on, you know, I I I realized that, you know, I had the best seat at this historical tour.
Yeah.
You know, it was insane. I just got to stand on the side of the stage and watch this a band. It was interesting because I didn't come to them as like a hardcore fan. I had met them and then they asked me and then I went. But then, you know, but I remember the very first night. There was this little girl backstage. She had been pulled out of the mosh pit and she was just sobbing. And I thought she got hurt. And I said, what's wrong? And she goes, Kurt Cobain walked by. And that was when I was like, oh, this is not, this is not a band. Yeah, this is not a band. Yeah. This means so much to these people. Yeah.
Well, when you mentioned Buddy Hackett, I have to ask this because I remember, and thank you for mentioning Buddy Hackett. I love that.
You just made his week.
Made my week.
if you mention him one more time, he'll appear.
Oh yeah, we don't want to conjure him up.
he's like Beetlejuice.
But when I saw you breaking on Letterman at age 20, and we had never seen anything like you before, and you've continued to be in the public persona all that time. What inspired you or what comics inspired you when you were growing up? Because it's hard to draw a lineage based on your first presentation.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was definitely like inspired so much by Andy Kaufman and you know, Steve Martin certainly had a persona, but Andy Kaufman and then George Carlin. And then if you watch, there's like my first HBO special is like on YouTube right now, and it's like I'm doing this persona. I'm definitely freaking out the audience, but then I'm doing all this political material, and which would definitely be like Carlin wouldn't call himself a political comic, but it was definitely, you know, I often when I'm ego surfing, I see people using my voice and my persona as a punchline, but they had no idea that there might have been anything more to what I was doing, which is okay with me. I mean, I, you know, it's like their experience with me isn't what I do in a club. Their experience with me is them watching Police Academy or a talking horse movie. But you know, I was ego surfing once, and in an interview, Patton Oswalt said, he said, Bobcat Goldthwait's been saying Bill Cosby's a rapist on stage for 20 years. And I had, but I didn't know it was true.
Wow.
I just got lucky. So,
do you want to rephrase that?
Yeah. I got lucky. I mean, not his victims didn't get lucky. I mean, I guess I got lucky because I didn't get sued by him. But, you know, we could call this joyride cease and desist because there's a lot of footage in it that is, well, if you make a documentary, there is a thing called fair use, but there's footage in here that is strange to see. You know, it's probably the only documentary. It's probably the only movie with Bob Hope, Kurt Cobain, and Jerry Seinfeld in it.
Well, you can get Joyride is streaming right now. Check it out. Very highly regarded on Rotten Tomatoes. You can get your tickets to see Bobcat at dccomedyloft.com. That's November 11th through the 13th, and you'll be at the Improv in Pittsburgh, November 26th through 28th. The Jim Amato, go see him. Improv.com
slash Pittsburgh. We'll be there on the 11th.
We will be there. Going. And before we turn you loose, I did want to ask, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, and Oscar, we touched on it earlier, is, you know, they're at a weird place in their career, and you've proven over the past 40-some years, you're a survivor, and I guess by challenging yourself.
A thriver.
Yeah.
At every turn, it would be like, oh, and then you look at your IMDb.
Oh, it's amazing.
Jesus.
Yeah. If you could just give us a thumbnail, what's your advice for people out there that are looking for their passion? Because I love the fact that you seem to have just chased your passions.
Right. I mean, this one doesn't sound that profound, but I tell you, I ignored it for so long. And that little voice is always right. That voice that says, hey, I should try this. And everybody else will say, no, don't. Or that kind of thing doesn't make money, or no one will, you know, when I left my hometown, everybody said, you'll be back in a few months, you know, listen to that voice. That voice is always right. And you know, know what you're trying to do. You know, if your goal is to get rich and famous, I would advise you trying something other than comedy. you could just make videos of you taking golf balls in the nuts on TikTok. But, you know, I think what happens is like you get fame and then you realize it's like at a dog track when they, you know, they chase the mechanical rabbit.
Yeah.
And a dog occasionally will catch the mechanical rabbit, and they reward that. They reward that dog by having him destroyed because that dog doesn't want to chase him anymore.
Right.
You know, so my advice would be don't chase mechanical rabbits.
Valid, valid. What a thrill to speak to you. Everyone go see this man in the clubs. He's a very funny man, a very talented man. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks, guys.
Ah, yeah. I like that. An interesting, very, very smart man. Very, very smart man.
Very generous with his time. It was a blast talking to him.
Very good, guys. That was so much fun to listen to. We got to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it is the homepage.
Yes.
And later on, we're going to do a... I'm very proud of this one. This one came from my wife.
Is it tricky?
So we'll see what happens. It's yeah, it's more tricky than some of the... I have to make them more tricky every time we do a Who the F Is.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll take a break. And thanks again to Bobcat Goldthwait. And we'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody!
Yeah, boy!
Rick Schofield.
Let's kick it.
O'Mara.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
All right, stop.
Tuning in and listen.
Mike is back with the podcast invention.
Download
TMOS on the daily. Become a P1 just like
Sherry Daily. Mike,
Oscar, Rob, and Pony.
That's the crew of my podcast home.
I got a fever, and the only prescription
is an annual bonus subscription.
Go to MikeOmeraShow.com.
Light the fuse of a comedy laugh bomb.
iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Spotify, make your smartphone richer.
Love it or leave it, you better hit play. You'll eat it all up.
Yo, the whole tray?
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while Pony revolves.
Mike, baby.
Oh, my God.
O'Mara.
Mike, love it. Baby.
So great.
Oh, yeah.
Mike.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Noom. When it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure or pressure, whatever way you want to pronounce it, to label foods good or bad, but that just creates dilemmas. Noom is here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach that looks not only at what you eat, but also how you eat. Instead of making you feel guilt or regret, Noom empowers you to keep going. Everybody's journey is different, so Noom customizes a program for you based on your personal goals. I love that no food is totally off limits. If you have an off day, relax. Noom gently will help you get back on track. Noom only asks for 10 minutes of your day to teach you about your eating habits and check in on your progress. You don't need rules to lose weight, just the knowledge and wisdom to empower you to build smarter, more sustainable habits. Noom's approach helps you better understand your relationships with food, how to be more mindful of your habits, and gives you the knowledge and support you need for long-lasting change. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. There is a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS. And give it a try. I think you'll like Noom, and I think you will enjoy that. And now let's get to the homepage, if I can get this thing to work today. Mike's back. Show slowing down. Thank you very much.
Stop it.
Four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, ladies and gentlemen. You don't hear this name on the news very often. Ricky Schroeder. He hasn't been doing much acting lately, but that's okay because he has a new project. He's trying to organize an armed takeover of the U.S. government on Veterans Day. I really wish I was kidding, but I'm not.
I know.
Ricky.
I think he's Rick now, isn't he?
Who knows? I put it as Ricky. Wasn't he in The Champ with John Voight, you know?
Yep.
Where he cried a lot.
He cried a lot.
He posted a desperate Facebook video this past Friday. It appears to be truly unhinged. He said, quote, "I'm sitting here in disbelief of what our world is turning into in front of our very eyes, and it's up to us to stop it. Nobody's going to stop it but us. So this Veterans Day, 11/11, let's stop it. Let's stop it. The government we have now has led us to the precipice of evil on a scale that the world's never seen. So this Veterans Day, let's take our country back. I think what we have to do is stand up the militia." Was that like if you're going to go on a date with the militia, you just stand them up?
Yeah, like, you know, he was very good on NBC's Militia Malay.
Let's see. Stand up the militia. Whoever feels they're part of the militia needs to stand up on Veterans Day.
Yeah.
Wow. And you need to gather. You need to muster. Muster at your post office in a small town. Muster at City Hall. Get your friend. I like mustard better than ketchup.
Is muster like a code word for these crazy people? Is this
muster
like-
is to a muster is a gathering of armed people.
To the best of my knowledge.
You can look it up on your Webster's. Yeah. Get your friends and muster. Musty. And a show of force is what we need to do right now. This is our country. We're going to fight for our country. We're going to fight for the children. So this Veterans Day, 11-11, God please show up. Muster, stand up. God bless America, and God bless those that muster. Mm. That's it. That's Ricky Schroeder.
I'd like to send a message to Ricky Schroeder, if it's okay.
Okay. What is that?
Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons.
Silver spoons! Yay, Ricky! Ricky!
So angry.
Just thought I'd put that. It was very scary. Jessica Simpson shared a totally unrecognizable photo of herself to celebrate 4 years of sobriety. I didn't even know that she was doing that. It's a photo of the moment when she knew she needed to, quote, take back my light, show victory over my internal battle of self-respect, and brave this world with piercing clarity. I've had many weekends where I've woken up and said that to myself. Just never get around to it.
I can believe she's sober because I haven't gotten a drunk text from her in years.
I needed some, a couple of weeks ago, I needed a little piercing clarity.
Oh,
sure.
I bet.
Jessica said she needed to stop drinking because it kept her mind and heart circling in the same direction. That resonates with me to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. I get it. You get back to where you were before. I kind of think if you drink, you do that.
What's she doing for Veterans Day?
Not sure. She's going to muster.
Good. Mike, you're exactly right. The muster is a gathering of military troops. Mm-hmm. I had no
idea.
How
about that, huh? Yeah. Walking dictionary right here. She was exhausted, she said. She'd rather feel pain and carry it as a badge of honor and live as a leader does. Quote, the real work that needed to be done in my life was to actually accept failure, pain, brokenness, and self-sabotage. The drinking wasn't the issue. I was. I didn't love myself. I didn't respect my own power. Today, I do. I'm all for her.
Good, I think that's great.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic, and she looks phenomenal, and she was unrecognizable. I saw the picture. It's very odd. It's that time of year again. Oprah shares her favorite things on Amazon.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes, she even announced it's been 25 years since her favorite things list started.
You get coverage.
This year, she's focusing on small businesses owned by women and people of color. So let's take a look at Oprah's list. We can start with the more affordable things. There's a lavender-scented stuffed animal for about $40.
Gotta have it.
Blue light glasses for $27.
Mm.
Skin tone crayons. Not even sure what those are. For $23. And an electric toothbrush for $24.
At number 26, Mike, the remote control Optimus Prime, it actually transforms itself.
Sold out.
You get a toy. You get a toy.
Collectible.
For a bit of higher price tag, she has a touchless sanitizer for $80. Bubble bath for $68.
Yeah, but you've never felt so clean.
What is it? What's it do? Does it? I'll do a Bubba the Love Sponge joke here.
Okay.
What's it do? Does it gold plate your hoo ha?
Thank you, Bubba.
A dog leash, bandana, and bag set for $93. Bite it.
Hold on. Is the bag set? You say a dog leash and bag? Is the bag for picking
up poop? It's a dog leash with a bandana for the dog and a bag set.
So the bag.
I don't know what kind of bag.
It's got to be poop picking up. Yeah,
for the owner.
Sure.
You know? And silk hair ties with an eye mask for $65. Nothing's jumping off the page at me here.
Mm.
Sorry,
Oprah.
Boring.
Now for the items we will not be gifting this holiday season.
What's that?
There's an air purifier for $1,300. A row machine, or is it a rowing machine?
It's a micro machine.
$1,800. A cashmere throw, $248. 10-piece ceramic pots and pans for $350.
The problem with a row machine, it takes up so much space. It's like a bowling alley in your house.
Well, it's all exercise equipment, you know? I mean, really, to work out on, you got to, you know, take a whole corner of your limited space house.
Well,
you can put a massage chair there.
But what would be great is, you know, you can hang a lot of clothes on a big machine.
Yes, thank you. Does your dog ever tilt its head and look confused?
No, my dog tilts its head when he's really listening. Like if I say his favorite word.
How do you know he's listening?
Because
does your beagle mix really, does Linus really tilt his head?
Yes, he's a champion head tilter. We've actually discussed this in my family because we have a lot of dogs in our family. He's the best head tilter since Cassie.
Okay.
And she was a 1970s dog.
Thank you. Thanks for that detail. Scientists may have finally figured out why they do that, and it's just not to look cute. Until now, their best guess was that head tilting helped dogs hear better or see past that big nose they've got, but those were just guesses and not very good ones. A new paper in the Journal of Animal Cognition says it might actually be a sign that they're smarter than other dogs and that they understand what you're telling them. Researchers tested a bunch of dogs to see if they could learn and remember the names of different toys. Most of them couldn't do it, but some could. Dogs that can are called gifted word learners, or GWLs. It turned out the GWL to... How much time are people spending on this crap? I mean, I'm really glad, because Winslow is a really... Is Santos a head turner?
He's a head turner for the ladies.
Look out!
Bada bing. Dogs that weren't good at learning words only did a head tilt in 2% of their sessions, but the GWL dogs did it in 43% of theirs.
Wow. Because there are certain words that always make Linus tilt his head. One is leash, walk, treat. These all work for him.
Lick.
The team behind the
peanut
study
butter
thinks those balls. The team behind the study thinks those cute head tilts must have something to do with the dog accessing old memories. So if your dog does it a lot, they could be a genius, at least compared to other dogs.
The dog's old memories. Remember when we voted for Nixon?
All right, and now... I got to hit my thing.
Yeah.
There it is. And now on Action News, we'll see plenty of polls this month about our favorite Thanksgiving foods. But the first one just came out, and it looked at the foods we hate the most. Over 1,000 people were asked to name the traditional Thanksgiving foods they don't actually like. And there are some very heavy hitters near the top of the list. Here they are.
Yes.
Lick it. Jesus. Anyway, I
was just, peanut butter.
When I do that, I put that together, so I said that to myself.
Linus tilts his head when I say string bean casserole.
You do without that one.
No, I'm with you.
Do without one. I would be very content with a turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and gravy. That's it.
Cranberries?
Don't need anything else. No. Don't need sweet. Don't need more sugar. You're going to have pie. That's big sugar. Cranberry sauce is big sugar, you know?
Actually, it's big cranberry.
Ooh.
Ocean spray.
No, it's big sugar. Trust me. What do you put in the... If you put just cranberries and boiled them in water, it would taste disgusting.
Yeah,
it's
but...
sugar,
yeah,
sugar,
yeah,
sugar.
You
know how many
sugar.
Cups of sugar you have to put in cranberry sauce? Come on.
Yeah, but what about the zest of an orange, too? Huh?
Could the be zest big, of an orange?
Could
and
be
I chop
citrus.
Up, I chop
some
up
red
apples. throw in some reds. I told my daughter Catherine about that, you know, and she said it sounded delicious.
I don't think she said that.
Not. And now,
said,
here's
why
little,
are you still hanging with that man?
Don't you almost have diabetes, Dad?
Here's a little something something for you. If there's a handbook for criminals, one of the very important piece of advice would be don't sneeze during a broadcast. Please don't sneeze. It's weird down here. Look at the light.
No, you look
don't
at the
sneeze.
Light, you're going to sneeze.
Don't leave anything at the scene that people could trace back to you. And definitely don't leave a trail. A man in Florida named Dewey Smith.
Mike, what is it about people named Dewey?
Dewey Smith didn't get the memo. He broke into several cars last Wednesday, and he did it while eating a pizza. A pizza.
Pizza.
The police found marinara sauce on the handle of one vehicle, and down the street they found an empty pizza box, which directed them to another car that had been broken into. And a neighbor nearby told police that she saw a man that night who had a plastic bag filled with credit cards. He also stole the remnants of a Little Caesars pizza that she'd tossed out.
Gross.
It's unclear if that was the first pizza or a second one. So the authorities just had to follow the trail, and they found Dewey. Yes. He still had the bag of credit cards. When asked about this, he said he just needed a little dough. Get it? There you go. There's
Mike, isn't a plastic bag full of credit cards known as a Florida wallet?
A Florida wallet. Yeah. Florida wallet, Florida suitcase. Absolutely. It works. All right, you guys in game playing mode?
I'm ready to go.
Let's go, yeah. Time.
Get it.
I'm going to beat this man.
Who the F is it coming up next right here on the Michael Barry Show? Two.
K-Star Country 99.7.
KTMOS Country, driving you loco on the Cattle Drive to Work Show. Good morning, America. It's me, Chuck Wagon, on Spiewak County's Best Country, playing the country hits while you're spraying your stinky pits. Have you ever thought about being a KTMOS talking head? Well, have you? Well, partner, it's easy to do. Just drop us a note at rob@mikeomarashow.com. That's Rob with two B's, doodah. Tell us why you'd be a great talking head, and be sure to include your phone number. And don't forget your name. Oh, what's my name? Fuck you, that's my name. Here's Buck Owens. You don't
know it's my favorite me, part like right there. It's my favorite promo, too. What's my name? F you, that's my
that's
name.
That's my name.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. The numbers are out, and the average home in the country has appreciated, 19% in the last year.
Whoa. Think of this. Wow. Think of this.
So what does this mean to you? Well, with this massive rise in home equity and the continued rise in COVID consumer spending, there's Oscar. Are you all right?
Yeah. 19% means I'll never buy a new house ever
is that
again.
What, you just look so sad when
I
said that.
I was like, I'll never buy a new house.
You were just literally hang-dogging during the commercial.
House, I could never buy a new house.
No, you could be like Bobcat. You could move to Illinois. You could probably afford out there. You could be Bobcat's neighbor.
Detroit.
Oscar, no matter what they say,
cheaper there.
It's cyclical, buddy. Yes. It is cyclical. There's never been a better time to tap into your home's equity to take cash out for any reason at all. You need to call my good friend Mark Livingstone and the team at Cornerstone. I can't look at Oscar.
He's sad boy.
And the team at Cornerstone First sad Financial dog. Right now. There's a lot of companies out there offering
19%.
Personal loans and lines of credit. But unless it's included in a refi, did you know your cash out is not tax deductible? So whether you're paying off credit cards, student loans, or renovating your home, you can enjoy this increase in equity and the tax deductibility by wrapping it all into a cash out
there
refinance and take advantage of ultra low rates. All at the same time, Cornerstone First guarantees to meet or beat any competitor, so don't miss out. Call Cornerstone First Financial, serving the listeners of the Mike O'Meara broadcast for over 6 years.
Yes.
202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Are you okay? I'm concerned about
you. Yeah, why
buy
you. When I can renovate?
That's right. Why settle when you can select?
Shannon literally said to me this weekend as we were walking around our tiny home, which is our fault.
You have to take turns walking around, don't you?
She said... Do you think when we moved in, we'd think 5 years? We've been in the home for almost 5 years. That remember? She goes, do you think when we moved in, we said it's going to take 5 years to do something tangible to this home?
Said, so have you done something tangible?
No, we tried to get somebody, and this is top of mind.
Well, they did one tangible thing, Mike. They threw away the radiators.
Yeah.
I mean, the size of your home is the equivalent of a one-bedroom apartment. Would I be accurate with that?
Yes. Kind of a 888 square feet.
Okay, which is in the size
it's
of
fine.
An apartment.
It's fine for
basically
us.
Yeah,
it's fine
bedroom. For us.
But the problem is, and I've been to the home once, is the layout is not a smart use of that 800 square feet.
Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of a smart car.
Yeah, it's a dumb house.
Can I ask you a question? So when this house was built,
yes,
was it built as a house?
1830.
I mean, back in the day, they had
smaller people.
They had smaller, but I mean,
don't you think it was part of the next house? Wasn't
it was a spite house.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It was a spite. We're literally built on an alley.
Mm-hmm.
Like the house, it was so unwanted. The space was so unwanted. Cars used to drive through the house at one point. We're on an alley now, Mike. The latest and greatest from Casa de Santana is this. We had my I was like, Shannon, I think we're almost in position to really renovate. Please start like teeing it up. And she called two people, never called her back. One lady called her back, was like, all right, great. Send us the plan. Send us everything you have. She sent the plans over. She said, This is her exact words when she called my wife, and I saw Shannon's face fall. She said, "Hi, thank you for submitting your plans," and, you know, blah, 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 blah. He goes, "We're going to politely pass."
Oh, God, I hate that. I hate that word. We're going to pass. That's like out of the movie Sideways, you know?
Yeah.
Conundrum's passing.
Yeah.
They're passing. They said it's a really good book that without a home. Conundrum's passing. Passing is the worst
pass
thing to
is
say.
Bad. You know what? If they really.
I'm going to take a pass on
yeah,
that.
We're going to take a hard. And also, if it's really bad, we're going to take a hard pass.
Well, right. When yeah. you're passing, it's double an insult because we want to give you our money. We want to give you. Like, we.
Yeah.
You're,
right.
And when you're calling us, which I respect, instead of just ghosting us, to say we're going to pass, it's like, this job is so unwanted and we are so in demand that we're going to pass on this.
Don't you understand, contractor, that my floors are paper thin?
You know what? You know what? Seriously, you know, the next time somebody says we're going to pass, call me, give them their number, and I'll call them as Brian Cox from Succession. All right? Oh, you're going to pass, are you? Then I'm going to go full beast on your ass. I'm going to go full beast. F off.
So great when he was yelling at Kieran Culkin this week or just talking to him.
Yeah, it's just so. Oh,
staying out of
God.
It, eh?
FBI. My
what
God.
Was, what did he say about the fishing trip? He goes, "We never went fishing."
That's right.
It's such a monster
goes,
with that.
His older brother did. I just figured I'd say it was you.
Was I you the know, one that went yes. at the end where the oldest brother?
This is from Succession.
Yeah,
by
was
way.
Was
Succession one of our favorite shows? Yeah.
Hiding from the television appearance. I thought he was going to go into the rec room and start pulling wires.
Yeah,
I thought that was being a crazy
it's,
thing. But
there, it's just so nonstop. It's so, you know, and I think at some point, if it's a good season, it's got to settle. Somebody's got to prevail to a degree. You know, that's what's got to happen.
I'm rooting for the guy with the tiniest neck in the world.
Do you root for Brian Cox? I root for the old man.
I do. Oh, I root for Logan.
I totally root for the old man who's a monster.
No, but the guy that works under him.
Because the kids are so smarmy.
Oh, the kids don't have a good quality among them. But there's one guy that works under Logan, and his neck is comically small.
Well, he might have been ill, Rob.
Do you think that's it? Okay,
I think if you read about that actor, he's had.
Okay, well, I wish him all the best.
Mr. Sensitive over here.
He is. You look up the actor. I don't know 100%, but that's what I figured.
Yeah.
And the other comment, I actually had a discussion with my father, as he said.
We'll pass on that comment.
A hard pass. The other thing is that we spend much of the episode trying to figure out if the daughter is really attractive or not. We're back and forth.
Oh, Shiv?
Yeah.
I think she's attractive.
No?
I don't know.
I don't know. Did she go back and forth on
power.
It like I do? Like in the show Glow.
The power
of
the confidence.
I don't even know. I don't go back and forth. I go back.
You back?
Yeah. Anyway, we got to take a break.
Oh, yeah.
We will do the Who the F Is It when we come back. I got it in my
cheer
hot
up,
little
Oscar,
hands
cheer
right
up.
Now. That's right. We're going to go full beast on their ass.
Hey, Logan, did you hear 19%?
19%? Oh, that'll get me a full renovation. Fantastic. In my home in Sarajevo. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Bored with burgers?
Tired of tacos?
Sick of spaghetti?
Well, there's a new neighborhood restaurant that has something for every member of the family.
It's Michael William O'Meara's Butt Cheeks.
God damn it, Twitch.
It's Michael William O'Meara's Butt Cheeks Restaurant. Can't do it.
It's Michael William O'Meara's Butt Cheeks Restaurant.
Yes, Butt Cheeks. It's what's for dinner.
Try our posterior pork chops, rustic rump steak, and delicious derriere desserts.
For reservations to Michael William O'Meara's Butt Cheeks Restaurant, submit your letter to the TMOS mailbag.
Just email Rob at MikeO'MearaShow.com. That's Rob with two B's.
We'll see you at Butt Cheeks.
Goodbye, foodie.
Hey, boys.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. As daylight savings time. Now, I say daylight savings time. Is that correct or incorrect?
I think it is.
No S?
Can you look it up?
I will. I'm trying to think what it is. I think it's
daylight savings time ends in November. Many people look at it as a reminder to change batteries around the house. It's also a good time to make a few changes to your sleep schedule.
Daylight savings.
With
an S.
With an S on it. Yeah. There you go. To charge up your batteries, quality sleep helps boost energy, recovery, and well-being. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to throw this commercial copy out the window and tell you that my experience. I normally don't say this, but I did test drive because it's been so long since I bought my Sleep Number bed when I was going to get my new one. I went around and I looked. It's not close, folks. It's not close. They are so ahead of the curve at Sleep Number. You really owe it to yourself. If you've never done it before, you need to check them out. They're better. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
That's me saying that. And if they get mad at me for doing that because they're very classy people, well, I'm not classy, get a Sleep Number bed. Just go out there. Tell them I sent you. You spend one-third of your life in bed, so don't sleep on the most addressable solution. Don't sleep on the most addressable solution for sleeping better. Your mattress. Sleep Number is the best, and if you're still having trouble adjusting to, fall back, stick to a sleep schedule and be careful not to let the evening drag on until the wee hours. Like if you're watching the New York Giants, figure another way lose a football game.
This is a very personal spot, Mike.
Maximize the natural light you get. And by the way, I'd like to say hi to Miranda down here in Florida at the Sleep Number store, who was amazing and helped me out with our purchase. Believe it or not, after all these years, my wife no longer wants the split pedestal. She wants the single bed mattress because she likes to cuddle with me.
Oh, that's
How about
sweet.
That after all these
that's
years?
Great.
Huh? And that'll help my circadian rhythm. Am I right, ladies?
Hey, it's a joke, you know.
As evening hits, by the way, switch your electronic devices to night mode, and around 1 hour before bedtime, start dimming the lights around you to signal to your body that bedtime is coming. And the best advice, be like me, get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. A great day starts the night before. My Sleep Number setting is now a 70. Carla is holding steady at 65. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep, and I can't wait to get my new one. Very exciting. All right, everybody.
Here we go.
My mom loves
Let's
this song.
Let's do it.
Big win. Yeah. Big win coming up.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you for giving us the fruitcakes. They all came from you. This is the game where I give 10 facts to the boys, and they try to guess who the famous person I'm talking about is. If they have a guess, you will hear this sound from one of the two of them.
I've got it!
Thank you, Rob. And that's how it works. And it's very simple.
Mike,
sometimes we get them early. Sometimes we get them late. You never really know on who the F is.
And remember, 10 big ways to win big.
10. I have 10.
10?
10 clues here. And let's get started because we're
awesome.
Running
Love it.
Short on time.
Yes.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. He.
It's a man.
Graduated magna cum laude with a degree in music.
Smart.
Oh, until it was music, it could have been me. He's a musician, or at least someone with a musical background. Magna cum laude, man. Oscar, make a guess.
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Make a guess. Go ahead.
Oh, God.
You
Burt
don't have to make a guess.
Burt Bacharach.
Burt Bacharach is Burt Bacharach. Burt Bacharach. That is incorrect.
I played that in Vegas, Burt Bacharach.
Bacharach.
Bacharach. Bacharach.
Bacharach.
Is he, which one is, Raindrops?
Yeah, and also, What the World Needs Now
Is Love, Sweet Love.
And also he is Ka-ching, because he has all the money.
Thank you. Clue number two.
Two.
He had a difficult childhood. Shy, introverted, and overweight.
A fat man.
Again, except for the music degree. Could have been me.
A man.
It's a man. It's a man.
It's a man, baby.
Could have lost the weight.
So I bet he's not as fat now.
I am sorry.
Not everybody gets skinny.
That means we have to move on clue number three. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
Because you want to emphasize the fact that it's a man, baby.
Began to play the piano when he was 5 years old.
I got it!
Damn it!
Hold on. Rob Spiewak.
Elton John.
Elton John is incorrect.
Damn it! But Oscar also rang
in. Yeah, but I was late. I got to wait for the next clue.
All right. Because you guessed it was Elton John.
No.
Oh, really?
I had somebody else.
Okay.
I love playing this game with you too. Clue number four.
Yes.
Ready.
He was married from 1952 until 2003.
Oh, God. Totally killed my guess. Damn it.
Wow.
Oh, him. 1952, 2003. She probably died.
Or he died.
Widower. What do we?
I'm sorry. Any guesses?
Nothing.
No.
Let's move on to clue number five, shall we?
Yeah.
You're listening to Who the F Is It 52. On the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you today by Sleep Number Bats. All right, here we go. Love it. He received more than 40 awards, including the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Woo!
Man.
Rarified air.
Yeah.
Rarified
big
air.
Big
So it's
deal.
Not Liberace.
No.
Because of the marriage and the Medal of Freedom.
Mm. 52 really gets me. I don't know.
Is he a piano player? He was five.
He's definitely not alive anymore.
I don't know. He might be.
Are you ready for clue number six?
Yeah, it's getting
harder. And also, and Carla thought of this individual?
Yes.
Okay. So
that's a hint.
That is a hint there, right there, because it's coming from a different source.
Carl's a wild card.
Wild.
He was also a Presbyterian minister.
Ooh, man. A religious man.
Smart man, educated man.
Lived in the 50s, was married in the 50s.
Musical guy.
Yes.
Musical guy.
Respected.
There's been no talk of respect.
Well, he's a Presidential Medal of Honor.
Yeah, that could have just been a
Medal of Freedom.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah. I don't got it!
Ready for clue number seven?
I am.
Getting
Let's move on,
stressful.
Shall we? You're listening to Who the F Is It on the Mike O'Mara
Very
Show.
Stressful.
I'm Mike O'Mara, your host, and we're here with Rob Spiewak and Oscar
Medal
Santana.
Of Freedom.
Is today's episode of Who the F Is It sponsored?
Today's episode sponsored by Sleep Number Beds.
Thank you.
He was a dedicated lap swimmer.
Mm. In shape.
Wow.
Got skinny. Fat man got skinny.
This is Oscar really all over the place.
It's like, and I'm starting to learn the traps to throw out your
way. Right.
Oscar
used to
can't
be
get
fat.
By the
That's
overweight.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. I'm sorry, there were no guesses in that round, and we're coming down to the wire here. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're listening to Who the F Is It.
Yes, sir.
Ready.
Go. Eight.
He was a vegetarian who said, quote, he couldn't eat anything that had a mother.
Ooh, sensitive man. Respectful man.
Older man.
Played the piano.
Used to be fat.
Married for a long time.
Long time.
Mm.
Presbyterian minister.
Presbyterian minister.
I don't have it.
I've got it.
You got it?
Fred Rogers.
What did it?
Oh, my God.
The minister. The minister.
Did you know it? Did you? That's. But it didn't click when I gave you the minister clue.
No, I had to sort of circle back and reverse engineer it.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
I didn't think you guys would get it through number 10.
Not
but you know
man.
What? Great clues in the reverse pyramid system.
The next clue was going to be he was one of the country's most sought-after commencement speakers. And the final original episode of his TV show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, aired on August 31st, 2001.
Wow.
That's
wow.
The final. The original. I think they ran a lot of reruns
lots
good chunk
and
of
also,
time.
I think they mixed up reruns for years. You never knew what color his hair would be when
what
you tuned in.
Like wild card. Who the F is it?
Yeah.
Dedicated lap swimmer. I didn't know that.
I didn't.
But,
that was no help to me.
Well done.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Medal of Freedom, 40 awards. The man was an icon. And, that came from Carla.
The piano player was such a curveball.
Because he started playing piano, and he would play piano all the time.
The
When he would be, on the show and off of the show. And you saw that with Tom Hanks in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the film that told the life story of Fred Rogers.
I'm so glad you didn't go with that internet rumor that's not true, that he was like a sniper with 80 kills. You see that sometimes.
Deep in the wiki. Yeah. Oh, it's a tough bit to put together.
Love that game. Thank you,
Mike. So, Fred, congratulations. We appreciate that. We will take a break. When we come back, it is the dumpster known as the Digital Dumpster right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. That's right. Fred Rogers was also a practicing Wiccan priestess.
Oh, that's good. And sacrifice the body of King Friday.
Absolutely. And sabotage the Hindenburg. Things you didn't know. We'll be right back.
If you missed the latest bonus show, you missed a lot.
Is Mike prickly?
I was the woman that was after the bad boy.
Yes. I've always said French food is the best food.
I was married to a man.
Henzo, for the love of God, shut up!
Oh my God, it's a sexual tension situation. Okay.
Did you have the smoked brisket, Dan?
No, I had the barbacoa.
The TMOS bonus show is your only chance to get that fifth hour of laughs, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Try a week, a month, or splurge for an entire year subscription. Your support keeps that comedy train chugging. Click the bonus show banner, get a subscription, and start laughing now. It's all at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah. Thank you, boys. We appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. By the way, the next time we do a Dan the Fan Man promo, I just have one little request. If there's any way he can speak Spanish again, I would really
like that.
I'm sorry. I just I adore that. If sometime in the next decade, we do a Dan the Fan Man promo. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Honey. We all shop online and we all want the best deal, but that elusive coupon code is forever mocking us.
Boo.
Thanks to Honey, searching for the coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, stuff like tech and gaming products, popular fashion brands, even food delivery. How does it work? Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click it. Click Apply Coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey does its thing, and if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Don't miss out. Smart shopper Mike O'Mara just saved over 20 bones on the order of toner and paper for his HP printer.
Awesome. Too.
in Rob's in Leesburg, he figured
it
out.
That's Rob S. I was making it be... anonymous.
Right. Rob S. and Leesburg figured out it works on eBay.
It does.
With just one click. Boom. If you don't already have Honey like Rob S. and Leesburg, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's absolutely free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey, Jack? For free at joinhoney.com/TMOS. That's joinhoney.com. .com/TMOS, Jack, and we appreciate that in
advance.
Appreciate that. We're going to why are you saying I'm spinning it when I'm really just
there's a wheel that spins to open the dumpster.
No, I always thought that sound was lifting a lid in a garbage
dumpster,
not a wheel. It's it's not like you're on a destroyer in World War II and you're opening a watertight.
Don't you
want to
know who's in there?
Huh?
Don't you want to know
who's up there? We find out, just like in Goodfellas, by lifting up the dumpster and seeing the body that's down there.
No, I never have, Oscar, because I'm too busy counting all my stocks and bonds.
Jesus.
Hey, speak up, Bob.
It is 7 o'clock. This is Bob Steele on WTIC AM 1080 in Hartford. Check your clock.
Mike?
That's the top of the hour.
He's the resident. He's a resident there.
Oh, God, the memories of that.
Mike, this is funny. The reason I was actually on eBay and discovered that I could use Honey on eBay, I found a Bob Steele LP. So coming
up, there's an album?
It was called Introducing Boob, I Mean Bob Steele. And I should have it in time that on for the bonus show this week, we should be able to dissect a little Bob's classic.
Oh, my God. I'd love to do that on the bonus show. That'd be a lot of fun.
All right. So we will do that. So stay tuned, folk. Ed Sheeran, who I always felt looked like a redheaded Mike McIntosh.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, very similar. You're right.
Yep. But he said he's never been really a towering pillar of masculinity.
Sounded like Curly just said.
Yeah, wise guy, eh?
Hey, mittens. So,
Well, I'm a huge fan of Ed Sheeran.
How about the Three Stooges?
Oh, me too.
I love Ed Sheeran, Rick Astley, Carrot Top.
Lucille Ball.
Really, really like that.
Arthur Godfrey.
Right. Pennywise. Red Buttons.
Red Skelton.
Red Skelton.
So
absolutely.
I would not. I'd say that, and you know, you could call him Red Sheeran. I guess you could.
Mm-hmm.
But
Red Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. He admits he's never been a tower of masculinity.
You want to start that again?
I don't. He's never. But he says
I'll have a career. He's never been a what? What has he never been?
A tower of masculinity. He realizes that he's got a very sensitive side. He's married. He has a kid. He's mm-hmm. straight. But he did admit this week.
I'm not like a hugely masculine person anyway. Like, I have a definite feminine side to the point where, like, when I was a kid, I thought I was gay for a bit. Like, I definitely have a big feminine side. I love musical theater. I love pop music. I love Britney Spears. Great. Like, my masculine side is probably stops at drinking beer and watching football.
He is so funny making fun of himself in the movie Yesterday, which you probably skipped because it was a Beatles
solid movie.
But he is so funny because he does absolutely make fun of himself. It made me like him a lot more. So, Mike. Last night on Jimmy Kimmel, he did one of your yearly favorite bits.
It's the best, and you know, and he puts it up online, and everybody gets to see it. It's the telling the little ones that you ate all their candy.
So here are a couple of highlighted responses from these youngsters last night.
I got hungry in the middle of the night, and I ate all of your Halloween candy.
Can you stop right there with that one, please?
Yeah.
We'll have to start again. I didn't need Sleepy Mom. I didn't like Sleepy Mom right off the bat.
Sleepy
By the
Mom.
Way, there's I'm almost split on this bit.
You're not turning.
It's because I hate. I just don't need the. You know.
You don't want them to like act.
That. No.
The feeling I got is that that's the mom on the morning after Halloween that she had spent longer in the driveway than I had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely. Go ahead. I'm
sorry. This wine isn't very cold anymore.
I got hungry in the middle of the night, and I ate all of your Halloween candy.
I thought you were on a diet.
I missed. I don't get it. It's bad audio. I don't know what's going on.
I thought you were on a diet.
Yeah, and then the other one, and then one of the kids called his mother an S-word.
Okay. All right.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Is he a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
Papa
ate it.
He didn't get diarrhea.
Says dad ate it, so he's going to get diarrhea. But it is. I have not turned on the bit yet. I still like it.
Okay.
This is trending on all the socials. A lady in Atlanta, her name is Taylor Davis, fell down, hit her head, went to the emergency room, waited 7 hours to be seen, gave up, and went home. And still got a bill for $700.
What do you mean I have a bill for that day? I didn't do anything. I was really just shocked. So I didn't get my vitals taken. Nobody called my name. I wasn't seen at all. I just came, sat in a chair for 7 hours and left. It's hospital protocol. Even if you're just walking in and you're not seen. When you type in your social, that's it. Seeing that they're able to bill you for random things, honestly, it doesn't make me want to go when I get injured.
Let me stop.
That's not good.
Let me stop right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Lady, I'm sure you weren't dying, and you know, I'm sure you were concerned. But I will tell you this: that I went in and I was, I want to say 3 to 4 hours when Michael opened his head up and he got 4 staples in the top of his head. Every time I had the feeling she had, and I'm about the billing issue. She's absolutely right; can't argue with that. But as far as going in there, anytime I felt like getting pissy or bitching about the amount of time for these protocols, and they are overdone. I really think that's the system we have.
Right.
It could be streamlined, but you know what I did every time I was going to get ready to get a little bitchy. I remembered what those people. Had dealt with for the better part of 2 years.
Yeah.
Those people that were on the literal front lines, putting their asses on the line, dying in many cases. So I edited that out. So it's really tough for me to hear people that bitch about 7 hours in an ER, especially when she's not really dying. Okay. She fell down and hit her head. Maybe she's got a concussion, but
maybe
she's going to be okay.
The system.
It's the system, but yeah, the system, you know, as I was sitting there, I can walk you through it because I did it so recently, Oscar. Mm-hmm. Walk in, go to the front desk, check in. Mm-hmm. They check you in, they get a name, then you go back and sit down. Then they call you up again and you fill out your paperwork. Then the wait begins, the real wait begins. Right. Then you are finally called in, and I think it's called, they triage you, where they take they put the little thing on Michael's finger and they take his BP, and that's it. Then it's into the room where another nurse comes in. She takes vitals again, asks you what's going on here, writes it all down, and then goes back out and says, the doctor will see you. Then the doctor comes in. The doctor says, well, we're going to treat this way. We'll send somebody back in. Doctor heads out. Another person comes in to do the actual prep work on the head wound that my son has. By that time, the doctor comes in, does the stapling, and then the doctor heads out. Then you got the meds. I'm not exaggerating any of this. You got the meds that they come in, where the nurse comes back in and leaves, and then the doctor checks you one more time. Could it be streamlined? 100%. Do these people control the way the system works? No, they don't. Did they put their asses on the lines, and should they be treated? Should they be given a grace period? 100%.
Of course.
That's just the way.
Of course.
I just wanted to say that about that. I'm sorry. I'm taking up all your time.
No, it's fine. You know, I've dealt with a lot of them. I've only in my life ever encountered one bad nurse, and even she was pretty good. I have the utmost respect for them.
Oh, I've had Godzillas. I've had horrible nurses. Yeah.
You know, you get what you get.
The lady that stuck me 5 times when I was getting infused with antibiotics. Oh, yeah.
But the running start with the needle, that was what was most surprising. All right,
that's
let's
the one that they
this.
Used a little infrared thing to find the vein. I said, have you tried that thing? She said, I don't use that. And I looked at it. I said, maybe you should.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, but she was gone, and then I heard she cried later.
Good. And so did you. Everybody cried. Let's close with this. I don't go around rooting against Mark Zuckerberg. I don't. But when he changes the name of Facebook to Meta, maybe do a little research, because there's already a company called Meta PCs.
Yes.
It's owned by a guy named Zach Shutt. And he said he will sell the name Meta to him for $20 million. That'll be fine. But he also, and this is what's fun, I love this, in response to the 19, 17, and 13-minute videos that Zuckerberg put out on social to announce Meta, the CEO of Meta PCs put out this short video as a message to Zuckerberg.
To reflect who we are and what we hope to build, I'm proud to announce that we are now Facebook.
That's your digital dumpster, folks. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.
Do it with a sense of humor. Hey, our thanks to Bobcat Goldthwait, who
He's
is
great.
Really
wonderful,
a funny guy. Where's he going to be, Rob Spiewak, so we get it
the
right?
The DC Comedy Loft, November 11th through 13th. And you can check their website out for tickets. Bob has no website.
Yeah.
Very good. And a great interview, you guys. Really, really appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
And we'll be back with another episode tomorrow for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana and Michael Maris. Thanks so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Make good choices!
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.